is taken from Malachi, the book of Malachi, chapter 3. You have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years, to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. This is the word of the Lord. The next reading is out of Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, and that will be, that we may then unite, that we may then all unite, in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of His providence which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one, now lately instituted, for civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general, for all the great and various favors which He hath been pleased to confer upon us, and also that we may then unite in most humble offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shewn kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as He alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789, George Washington. And so, our country's first Thanksgiving proclamation was given by our first president in terms much more eloquent than I can do, I think, sort of, kind of. See what I mean? The first Thanksgiving was celebrated by the pilgrims. We all know that. After the first harvest they had in the New World in 1621. The feast lasted for 3 days. And as accounted by an attendee, Edward Winslow, was attended by 90 Native Americans and 53 pilgrims. Thanksgiving was made a national holiday, an annual event, by Abraham Lincoln in 1863, following a letter he received and a series of articles by Sarah Josepha Hale, a 74-year-old magazine editor. But of course, America is not the first country called by its leader to give thanks to God for His protection, direction, and provision. We heard some of that in our second lesson from the Old Testament this morning, from Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase, and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. With these words, Moses was teaching the Israelites to have a thankful and remembering heart. And he spoke those words not long before they crossed the Jordan River and began the conquest of the Promised Land. He is so confident of their coming victory that you might say he's declaring their own version of thanksgiving even before they went into the land, before they possessed it. Moses continues, "He, the Lord, led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, 'My power and my strength, the strength of my hands, have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant which He swore to your ancestors as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed." If someone is a follower of the one true God, one has every reason for confidence about the future. But you also see in these words of Moses that failure to follow the truths, precepts, and instructions of God clearly eventually lead to the downfall of nations. In a couple of days, the majority of Americans will gather around tables filled with delicious foods. Many will consume more than they should, and the makers of Rolaids, Tums, and Pepto-Bismol will be glad of heart. Yes, we will sit down to tables, speak prayers of thanksgiving, and enjoy the company of others around the table. It is good that we would do this. For as Moses said, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth." That is to say, that were it not for what God has given to you by way of intelligence, a capacity for hard work, along with His blessings to you personally along the way, we wouldn't be gathered around tables of thanksgiving. Yes, it is good, it is right for Americans to stop and thank God for His guidance and His provision. But perhaps you noticed that today's lessons brought to us what you might say was a mixed bag. There were the encouragements we just reviewed from Deuteronomy. There were also encouragements that we heard from the letter to the Philippians, where it said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Those are encouraging words. And then there was the story of the 10 lepers in the gospel lesson that were miraculously healed by Jesus. But there was a problem as that event played out. True, one of the men healed of the dread disease immediately came back to thank Jesus. And so thankful was he that he threw himself at Jesus' feet. But what about the other nine? And Jesus makes special mention of the fact that the other nine didn't come back. He identifies this as a problem. And might I suggest that there is a corollary every year as America observes Thanksgiving Day. We've learned from Moses that God is the one who enabled the Israelites to prosper even while they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years with no place to call home. A band of people with no land of their own. And yet God richly blessed them and prospered them. And the reason America has had such a successful run, if you will, is because of the blessing of God upon our land. But how many American Thanksgiving tables will be devoid of a moment of humbly thanking God for His provision? How many observances of Thanksgiving will be akin to the nine healed lepers who couldn't be bothered to come back and thank Jesus for the healing? I mentioned that the lessons this morning bringing us a mixed bag. Remember, please, the first lesson from the prophet Malachi. There we saw God, through Malachi, calling out those who had, quote, spoken arrogantly against God. Those whom God accused asked, When have we spoken against you? And God responds and he says, you have said it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his commandments and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? In fact, I should have included a few more words from that lesson, for it also says, but now, these are the people who were complaining about following God. They said, but now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper. And even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. In other words, the people claim to have tried to follow God and His precepts, but saw that even though they had done that for some time, that those who didn't follow God's ways were also prospering. So they reached the point where they said, why are we bothering to do this at all? What are we gaining from following Yahweh? Therein lies the problem. Those whom God is calling out fell right into the devil's trap. And what is that trap? Well, let me answer the question with the timeless truth of God. It is a favorite ploy of Satan to lead Christians to think of their relationship with God in terms of what they can get from God. And yet, if we were to take an honest look at our personal relationship with God, how often might we find ourselves doing exactly that? measuring our relationship with God based upon what we're getting from Him. Now here's the thing, and it's really another timeless truth of God. God does want to bless those who love Him, who hold faith in Jesus and follow Him with zeal. That is a truth. For God, like any good parent, desires to bring blessings to His children. But it is so errant to think of our relationship with God in terms of what we might get from Him. No, no. We love God. We love Jesus because of who He is. God. We love Him first of all simply because He's God and deserves all honor, all glory, all praise, and all the love we can muster. And because He is who He is, He just pours out His love on His children of faith. To love God only because He gives us stuff is just another form of selfishness. At the core of every sin is some form of self. And that too is a timeless truth of God. So here we are in 2016, about to once again celebrate Thanksgiving Day. And I, for one, would make the argument that God has mightily blessed America during our 240 years of existence. Yes, for this reason, we have much reason to praise and thank our gracious God. But I would also make the argument that for the past many years, we have been drifting in a direction that could, if not ameliorated, bring us to a place where God's hand of blessing could be withdrawn from our land. Some are making the argument that His hand of blessing has been withdrawn already. And if it is the case that God either has or may soon withdraw His blessing, why would He do so? He would do so for certain reasons, and He would do so with a purpose in mind. The reason or reasons He would withdraw His hand of blessing have everything to do with how closely and how earnestly the people of our land yearn for Him and desire to live in accordance with His revealed truths and expectations, or not. Whether we do or whether we don't. Many of you will remember Dr. Martin Luther King's civil rights efforts. And what I have in mind this morning in particular is the march in Selma, Alabama. I know a man who was there. His name is Frank Marshall. Now let me share with you his story. Now I think I may have shared this before, but I'm not quite sure, it might have been in a Bible class, so some of you may have heard this, but I know many of you have not. Frank was a late teen at the time. He and three of his buddies, they were all African American, they went to Martin Luther King's people and said, "Hey, we've got guns. We'll be your enforcers." King's people said, no guns, no violence. We don't do anything like that. You cannot come if you're carrying firearms. You cannot come. So being rebuffed, they decided what they would do. They got into Frank's car. They drove to the far end of the bridge. And they went down the embankment toward the river where a bunch of cars were parked. And they sat in the car. And they had a pact among themselves. And they said, "We won't start anything, but we'll finish it." One of them had a pistol, one of them had a rifle, one of them had a shotgun, and I can't remember what he said the fourth guy had. As they sat in the car, they saw some white guys with baseball bats working their way down the riverbank, smashing in the windows of the black people in those cars watching the rally, watching the march. They got to Frank's car. The man with the baseball bat reared back, ready to swing, but stopped, went on to the next car. Now, what I didn't tell you is that today, Frank is a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And after he told me his story, I said, "Frank, that was so God. You would never have gone into the ministry and been a minister all these years had you guys started shooting those guns." And Frank said to me, he says, "Oh, I know." He says, "I know. In fact, what I didn't tell you is all four of us ended up being preachers." So Martin Luther King would not under any circumstances allow violence to be started by his side. And what marvelous results his nonviolent protests brought about. But today, groups like Black Lives Matter seek violence against the very men and women who rise each day with the goal of maintaining peace on the streets of our land. Yes, things have changed in our land. Violence has increased in many, many cities. We take the life of the unborn. We permit, as simply an alternative lifestyle, what Scripture clearly condemns. Premarital cohabitation and sexual activity is now the norm, rather than simply something that happened on occasion if the couple could get away with it. And all these barriers and prohibitions that God has given to guard and protect society have now led to the conditions that Malachi wrote about, where people are now freely and frivolously jettisoning any and every moral guideline given by God and summarily dismissing God altogether. Yes, God, if he hasn't withdrawn his hand of blessing, he certainly must be close. Now, why do I speak these things on this day, just a couple of days before Thanksgiving? Two reasons. One, so that when we gather to give thanks to God this Thursday, wherever we do that, that we would also pray that he not give up on us as one nation under God. Yes, pray for our land and for the people of our land. Pray for God to continue to seek to speak faith into the hearts of the people you know who do not yet have faith in Jesus. And two, pray from a heart of thankfulness for all God has not only done for you in this life, but especially having a thankful heart for what he has done for you in eternity. And with that prayer, include an invitation for God to use you in any way he chooses so that you, yes, you, can be a force for good in our land. Pray that he would use you to help other people return to living as God would have us live, with love and respect for him and his truths, and with love and respect for one another. Yes, pray for our land and remember this. No matter what the situation of life, no matter whether you have a good day or an exceedingly difficult day. There is always, always reason to be thankful. Thankful no matter what. For God is always loving you, always wanting to give you strength and peace and hope, always wanting to give you all that you will need to make it through that time of difficulty. Remember, He has never promised that this life would be easy. But He did promise to be with us and to bring us through it, so that one day we can enter into the wonder of eternity. All glory to His name. Yes, let us be thankful no matter what. Amen.